नामते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today there will be three verses, 26, 27, and 28. This is from Canto 8, Chapter 6. So I will read the English translations of 26 and 27, then we will proceed in the usual way with 28, which has a purport to it. 26, translation, Shukdeva Goswami continued, O King Pariksit, after advising the demigods in this way, the independent supreme personality of Godhead, the best of all living entities, disappeared from their presence. Text 27, translation, Then Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, after offering their respectful obeisances to the Lord, returned to their abodes. All the demigods then approached Maharaj Bali. Drishtvarin apya samyatan jatakshoban svanayakan nyase dadaitya rat shlokya sandhi vigraha kalavit Drishtvarin apya samyatan Jatakshoban svanayakan Nyase dhadaitya rat shlokya Sandhi vigraha kalavit Drishtvarin apya samyatan Jatakshoban svanayakan Nyase dadaitya rat shlokya Sandhi vigraha kalavit Ladies, please. Trishtva, observing. Arin, the enemies. Api, although. Asamyatan, without any endeavor to fight. Jatakshobhan, who became agitated. Svanayakan, his own captains and commanders. Nyashedhat, prevented. Daityarat, the emperor of the Daityas. Maharaj Bali. Shlokya, very respectable and prominent. Sandhi, for making negotiations. Vigraha, as well as for fighting. Kala, the time. Vit, completely aware of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Maharaj Bali, a most celebrated king of the demons, knew very well when to make peace and when to fight. Thus, although his commanders and captains were agitated and were about to kill the demigods, Maharaj Bali, seeing that the demigods were coming to him without a militant attitude, forbade his commanders to kill them. Please repeat. Maharaj Bali, a most celebrated king of the demons, knew very well when to make peace and when to fight. Thus, although his commanders and captains were agitated and were about to kill the demigods, Maharaj Bali, seeing that the demigods were coming to him without a militant attitude, forbade his commanders to kill him. Purport. Vedic etiquette enjoins Grehe Shatram Api Praptam Vishvastam Akuto Bhayam. When enemies come to their opponent's place, they should be received in such a way that they will forget that there is animosity between the two parties. Bali Maharaj was well conversant with the arts of peacemaking and fighting. I'm sure we all know that Bali Maharaj is one of the 12 Mahajans, authorities of Bhakti Yoga as well, and he is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So he comes from a very auspicious line, starting, of course, from Prahlad Maharaj. He's no ordinary king, no ordinary emperor, I should say. Bali Maharaj was well conversant with the arts of peacemaking and fighting. Thus, he received the demigods very well, although his commanders and captains were agitated. This kind of treatment was prevalent even during the fight between the Pandavas and the Kurus. During the day, the Pandavas and Kurus would fight with the utmost strength. And when the day was over, they would go to each other's camps as friends and be received as such. During such friendly meetings, one enemy would offer anything the other enemy wanted. That was the system. Om Agina Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So just recapping somewhat, and we'll come to the main point of this particular, or these particular verses. All of this has started as a result of an terrible quality that we all have, and especially Indra, or especially anyone who happens to be on a very powerful position may have, and that is the quality of pride, quality of arrogance, quality of conceit, quality of vanity. Think we're great, think we're all in all, think we're wonderful. This is what happened when Durvasa Muni offered his garland to Indra, who happened to have been riding on his elephant. And when he received the garland, instead of receiving it the way a Vaishnav receives gifts with appreciation, with gratitude, with the feeling that he's receiving something blessed, instead he took it for granted. I'm so powerful, I'm so great, everyone is saluting me, everyone is honoring me, everyone is glorifying me. What do I need this garland for? It's useless. I'm as advanced as this yogi. I can fly in the sky just as he can. I can become as small as an ant just as he can. So what's the big deal, the garland? Better give it to my elephant. He needs the advancement. So this is an unfortunate mentality. No matter how more advanced you may be than someone else, when somebody gives you some prasadam or some gift, it always has to be received with affection and appreciation. And there should always be a desire for reciprocation, even if you're more advanced than the person who's giving it to you. That is because when someone gives you something, he doesn't have to give you. It's a gift of love. It's a gift of the heart. And when the heart expresses, this is something coming from Krishna. Krishna is the source of all love. And when love comes, whether it's from an enemy or it's from a friend, or when it comes from a dog or a cat, yeah, sometimes the dog expresses love too. He comes and he licks your face, you know. This is love. So you have to pet him, at least give him a little reciprocation. Pat him on the head. And as an expression of your affection. And they like that. Because they also have feelings. So this is what he did not do. He put it on the trunk of his elephant. And the elephant, being an elephant, and having a very sportive mentality, just threw the garland down on the ground and began to stomp on it. Because they love stomping on flowers. That is one of their wonderful pastimes. They like to go through gardens and just boom, 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 and just mess the whole thing up. And that is their accomplishment for the day. They feel like the Lord Elephant that they are. So when Durvasa Muni saw this, and he saw that Indra didn't seem to even care that the elephant was stepping on the garland, that this was improper behavior. Of course, it was an elephant. What did the elephant know? But Indra knew, and he accepted the gift in an improper, unfortunate mentality or attitude. The result is what we have here today. I don't mean today, 2014, but I mean here. So the result is that the poor demigods, they, as a result of Indra's offensive mentality, they they were cursed by Durvasa Muni, and he cursed them to lose their property, to lose their position, to lose whatever they had, which they considered dear and near. And this is their pathetic situation. This has happened many times amongst the demigods, although generally they are very devoted. But the problem is, and this is what we can all learn from, because each and every one of us has some ability, we have some talent, we have some glory, and when we manifest it, the important thing is to not merely accept it. This is the normal thing, you know, you accept it, thank you, or maybe sometimes I see some false humility. Oh, no, I don't deserve your praise. No, don't give it to me. I never saw Prabhupada do that. Whenever we gave somebody the Prabhupada, he accepted it with relish, with appreciation, and he often would reciprocate with something. He'd give you a cookie, or he'd give you a watch, or he'd give you a ring, or he'd give something to show how much he loved what you gave him. And he didn't take it for granted, even though he was a billion, zillion, trillion times more advanced than all of us. So we can learn from this particular pastime that whenever love comes to us, whether it comes through words, nice words, compliments, kind words,
sweet words, affectionate words, they are not to be taken just for granted. The desire should be one of appreciation, and when there is appreciation, it is followed usually by a desire for reciprocation. These are very simple principles of etiquette, but they are what make a community come together in a mood of love, affection, respect, and honor. Otherwise, everyone starts taking everyone for granted. And I can say what I want to you because, after all, I know you for 10,000 years. And you can say whatever you want to me. And then what happens is sometimes the wrong thing comes out. And as a result of the wrong thing which comes out, we create enmity unnecessarily. So it is good to have in the heart this sense of respect, especially for all the devotees who are quite uncommon, quite unusual, quite amazing. To be amongst persons, all of whom are worshiping the Lord, glorifying the Lord, honoring the Lord, praising the Lord. Where do you get that? You go to school, everybody is just ignoring the Lord, indifferent to the Lord, uncaring about God, denying the Lord, debasing the Lord, disowning the Lord. All of this, is that a place you want to be in? Of course not. You can't grow, you can't develop, you can't aspire, you can't reach any high destination in such horrible environments. And unless we know how to insulate ourselves against them, it's very difficult. So when people praise us through the words, or they praise us through their deeds, they should be respected. And we should not think that we're so great, we're so wonderful, so glorious, that yes, I deserve this. I earned this. After all, I cut up vegetables for 10 minutes in the kitchen, so I deserve the garland that I've just got from Prabhupada. Yeah, right, you deserve the garland. No, you don't deserve the garland. You're getting it as a gift. And Prabhupada is giving it to you as a gift, and it should be received as a gift that you don't deserve. I don't mean you, I mean all of us. If we take it as a gift that we don't deserve, then it's received properly. Oh, Prabhupada, you actually are allowing me to have your garland, which is so pregnant with spiritual vibrations. When we have that attitude, those vibrations which are in that garland begin to literally flood our whole being, and we begin to feel transcendental bliss. Otherwise, if we don't take it in that spirit, what happens is that we lose the benefit of the divine article. So many divine articles, but if they're taken for granted, taken as if I earn them. After all, as I said, I spend 10 minutes in the kitchen, and 10 minutes mowing the lawn, and another 10 minutes cleaning up the... No, there's nothing. So many sins have committed, so many wrongs have been done. Over the period of this lifetime and many lifetimes, we've accumulated a great, great litany of sins, which could take zillions and zillions of years to wipe away. Of course, by Krishna's grace, by His holy name, they're wiped. The reactions to them are wiped away immediately, which gives us another reason to be so appreciative to devotees when they glorify us, or they honor us, or they give us some gifts. But in effect, whenever we receive these things, they must not be kept with us. That is where the problems. When we begin to think, yes, I'm distinct, I'm distinguished, I'm special, I'm wonderful, I'm superior, I'm greater. As soon as that sets in, that's when the madness begins to take over. And the madness is just that. I'm better, I'm bigger, I'm greater, I'm wonderful. So what do you do? How do you protect yourself? Every time we receive something that is coming as grace, no matter what it may be, I don't deserve this. This is the thought that we must have. I don't deserve this. My spiritual master deserves this. I am receiving it as a result of His mercy. And because of His mercy, I am getting this. And therefore, because it is the result of His mercy, I offer it back to Him mentally, because He truly deserves it. And taking it one step further, how did I get my spiritual master? I got it from the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna gave me this great, wonderful, amazing, glorious, incredible spiritual master. So I offer it further on to the Supreme Lord Krishna. who is the source of everything. As Krishna says, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always conversing about me. Of all that is spiritual, all that is material, know for certain that I am both the origin and the disillusion, Krishna says. So Krishna is the source of all that we are receiving. So let us mentally always say, this doesn't belong to me. This belongs to you, Krishna. It's yours. I give it back to you. Now I am zero again. Being zero, I am in an envious position. I'm in a perfect position because I'm stripped of, devoid of this pride, which would become the disease that would pull me down and take me away from you, which would distance me from you, which would carry me away from you. And as a result of that, I would begin to imposter myself as you, thinking I'm myself, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, I'm so glorious, I'm so superior. As soon as I begin to think that, of course, it's quite subtle. It doesn't come out just the way I said it. The ego is very tricky. You can say, oh, I'm nothing, I'm worthless, I'm useless, I'm good for nothing, and really you mean, I am something, I am great, I am wonderful, I am superior. The ego is so tricky. So, how to get to rock bottom? You get to rock bottom by giving everything to the Lord, to your spiritual master. My clothes, where did they come from? From Krishna, initially. The garland, where does it come from? It comes from Krishna. Whatever gifts come to me, where do they come from? From Krishna. Food and clothing and shelter. My health, my strength, the guidance, the books. If I need some medication, where do they come from? They come from the super soul who is within giving us these gifts. So is it not incumbent upon us to always remember he who is always remembering us, making sure that we have what we need, making sure that we that we are fully taken care of with all these things that are necessary for moving on in our spiritual life? Yes. Therefore, all credit must be given to him. And it must be acknowledged in one's mind. And each time we take something for granted, each time we ignore saying thank you, then we are committing an offense. Sometimes the devotees are coming around with the flowers, you know, they're putting under your nose. So different devotees accept it in different ways. I watch this very carefully. Some devotees are actually showing great thankfulness. They feel they're getting a gift from God, and that devotee is the representative of God giving that gift. And some devotees are onward, move on. It's like, or another doesn't even sniff it. It just lets it go. It's as if it were another, like a piece of paper you pick off the floor. That's not the way to treat prasadam. It doesn't have to be something that tastes so delicious, so wonderful, so delicious, so delightful. It doesn't have to be that. It could be just a simple flower coming off the altar. But it's simple, but it's complex because it has all the spiritual vibrations of the deity that wore it or that had it or that held it and who is giving it to you. Isn't that wonderful that the deity is thinking of you, giving you a flower? You've been thinking you're so special, special, and now finally the Lord is saying, yes, you are special to me. And then you just, and that's it. No. If you're special, by virtue of the Lord's appreciation of your service to him, even though it's tiny and insignificant to some other devotees, but to the Lord it means so much. Just a little tiny bit of service is so important to him. And he's so grateful and glad. Did you know that Krishna, at the Rajasuya sacrifice, different Yudhishthira assigned different leaders, different jobs. The job that Krishna had, this is the Supreme Lord of the universe. This is the greatest of the greatest, the highest of the highest, the biggest of the biggest. He had the job of, do you know what? Washing the feet of all the guests. And he didn't say, well, you know, I'm the Lord of the universe.
How can I be washing? They're supposed to wash my feet.
He never said that. He never said that. He took it as a pleasure because everyone in his mind was his child. And is there any difficulty, any trouble, any disdain in washing the feet of all your children and setting the perfect example? He was the greatest of warriors, but he set the example that no matter how great you are, it is not so terrible to wash the feet. Washing the feet means washing the dirt off the bottom of somebody's feet and touching in your hands. But that's what greatness is. Greatness is a combination of one who has ability, the ability of God, and one who has the humility to accept it as all coming from Krishna. And when we know that whatever we do, some of us can speak, some of us can take beautiful pictures, photographs. Some of us are really great on computers, some of us are doing yoga. Every one of us has some very special ability. Some, like this kirtan, was so ecstatic. All the devotees were jumping and bouncing around. I would say, wow, this is so wonderful. I mean, after all, they could be out on the street smoking drugs. But look at them. They're jumping around like a bunch of grasshoppers. How wonderful. I mean, you see, I'm at least three times older than everybody here. And when I was their age, I wasn't doing what they're doing. And I'm so sorry I missed the boat. And I'm so grateful that Krishna has made, Prabhupada has made this temple so that they are on the boat. Going home, back to Godhead. And I was just feeling so grateful to be in such an environment and to be watching them. I had no envy. I was actually dancing too. I don't know how that was happening. Sometimes Krishna gives me some special energy. This old body, which should be decrepit and should be falling apart and getting a heart attack every time I jump. But somehow Krishna allows, he's enabled me. He wants to fulfill Sura's prophecy that I'm going to live to 106. And I heard that Savas has made the basket already. So that's the only reason it's happening, to fulfill the prophecy. Yeah, well, I hope so. So it's fascinating. And it's something I relish and I appreciate. So please keep up this dancing. If you feel any inspiration for me at this very moment, you're the cause of it. I attribute it to your jumping and dancing and singing and applauding and Nikatma's playing that drum and the way he was singing today. I just was gaga. Not Lady Gaga. Just gaga. I don't want to get confused with anybody else here. So, anyway, this is the all-important thing. You know, I had a different talk prepared, and I'm already at the end. So I haven't really started my talk. But because my name is not Bhakti Charu Maharaj, I have to stop in a few moments. When I go to other temples, they just let me keep going on. So, the important point, though, is to give it away. Give it back to the source. It's so important. It's the best instruction you will ever have. Don't keep the praise. Don't keep the adoration. Don't keep the distinction. Don't keep the applause. As soon as it hits, get rid of the poison. It will poison your spiritual life. So many sannyasis have fallen down because they didn't get rid of what would be poison to them, but would be nectar if you give it to Prabhupada. It's nectar when you give it back to Krishna. It's nectar when you give it to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because they deserve it. And we are simply receiving mercy. And because they deserve it, we are then zeroed out. Zeroed means true humility. I am tiny. I am small. I am insignificant. I am worthless. I am useless. I have nothing outside of and beyond which the Lord is bestowing upon me. All that you see that may be great or good or wonderful is all the grace of God. And that's the way we have to think of everything that we have, all our talents, abilities, and so forth. And when we have that mentality, we are saved. We have that mentality. We're insulated against the praises and honors and glorifications. This is what Krishna tells Arjuna. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, do this as an offering unto me. And in this way you'll be freed from the bondage of work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed upon me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and you will come to me. He promises that. Just give it all to me, he says. Now, I'm not inventing this. This is what Krishna says. He says, therefore, Arjuna, with your mind fixed on me in this... I've got two verses cross-current right at the moment. So what can I do? That's the problem. You study too many verses. They sound too much alike, and two of them want to come out at the same time. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna. And at the same time, perform your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will come to me without a doubt. Abandon all varieties of religion or dharma. Abandon all varieties of religion and dharma, and just surrender unto me. I will free you from all sinful reactions. Do not care. Do not fear. I'm all for you. I will give you everything you need. Just depend upon me. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Not hearing. That means we're hearing ourselves. We're not hearing Krishna. The more we offer, the more we give, the more we surrender, the more we submit, the more we glorify the Lord, the calmer, quieter our mind will be. And when it is calm and it's quiet, it can hear the voice of God. And when we become completely pure, not only will we hear the voice of God, but we'll be able to see the Supreme Lord in our hearts and outside our hearts and everywhere, in all beings, in all things. And to being Krishna conscious, this is what Srila Prabhupada was. He saw Krishna in everything. And he saw hope. He saw optimism. No matter how dark things were, he could always see the bright light because he could see that Krishna. Seeing Krishna, that is the reality. Seeing darkness, that is not the reality. That is the covering of reality. The reality is Krishna. So therefore, we have a very, very great opportunity to advance, to grow. I really wanted to talk about this one subject, which is very important because it concerns our spiritual advancement, and that is obedience. Basically, the Lord is giving the demigods instructions. Now, none of the demigods are putting up a fight. They're not saying, well, do you think maybe we should do it this way? Or maybe we should do it that way? Well, here's another. They're not saying that. Krishna is saying, here's what you should do. Don't be angry. Try to stay peaceful when you're dealing with the demons. Just try to stay calm. Don't become agitated. If they say they want to do one thing, agree with them. Don't fight with them. Don't become agitated. So those are the instructions. And they took them to heart. And as a result, they ultimately gained the goal. And what was the goal that the demigods wanted? Anybody remember? Huh? Yes, they wanted the nectar so that their bodies would be immortal. And the demons could not kill them then. The demons, of course, wanted to get the immortality so the demigods could never defeat them. So Krishna assured them, you'll get the nectar if you just follow my instruction. So we all have authorities here, and we should respect those authorities. We should honor those authorities. You should be glad to receive instruction from the authorities. Because this is Krishna's way of manifesting through the authority for your benefit, for your guidance, for your direction, for your help. And if you accept it in the proper spirit and not grudgingly, and not indifferently, and not in an independent spirit, what do I have to hear this for? Yeah. Instead of taking it in that, take it gladly, willingly, welcomingly,
If we do it that way, not only is the authority, does he feel reassured and feel confident of your loyalty and your dedication, but that affects his attitude in dealing with other devotees. There's nothing more horrible than when you get a grouser. Well, I'd like you to go in and cut up some tomatoes. Do I have to do that now? You know, I was just planning to read the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, but we need it now, and we've got a Sunday feast to deal with. Yeah, but no buts. Do it, do it, do it. So we shouldn't give the authorities those kinds of difficulties and problems. It's hard enough just being in that position, let alone giving out all those orders to so many devotees. So let us cooperate. Let us be appreciative of the leaders' assistance and help, that they are the representatives of the Supreme Lord, representing Srila Prabhupada, representing our very best and greatest interest, assuming that what they are saying and doing, it lines up with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That being present, then we have only to look up, because great things are on the rise. Great things are about to occur. And those great things is we are to become more and more Krishna conscious. We have a great festival coming up soon, the Ratha Yatra. What a great, glorious, wonderful opportunity to become so, so Krishna conscious. All of us here can offer whatever services we have for the glorification, for the greatness, for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, Lord Jagannath, Baladev, Lady Subhadra, and of course, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Hari Bol.
Audience. Thank you so much. It's very encouraging. May Krishna bless you.